Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Thank you. Thank you, church. I am very excited to speak tonight. Tonight's message, just so you guys know, we're going to have like 3 moments of group discussion throughout the message as well. So I'll let you know when those times are, but basically just to, you know, try and get everyone talking a little bit. It's not just me up here. I want you guys to sort of have a little bit of a discussion yourselves as well. But let's dive straight into the Word. Exodus 16, if you have your Bibles or your phones, read along. Otherwise, I've got it on the screens. This is the Israelites in the desert. They've just been freed from slavery and they are hungry. They don't have any food. So it says in verse 4, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. On the 6th day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily.'" Moving on to verse 12, I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp. And in the morning, dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was in the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" And that's a really interesting part in Hebrew. It doesn't necessarily mean that they didn't know what it was. There's another translation that says, "This is a gift," which is a really cool little thing that I found when I was researching it. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather of it, each of you, as much as he can eat. You shall take an omer, which is about 2 liters, according to the number of the persons that each of you has in their tent." And the people of Israel did so. They gathered, some more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. Each of them gathered as much as he could eat. And Moses said to them, "Let no one leave it over, any of it, till the morning." But they didn't listen to Moses. Some left part of it till the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them. Morning by morning they gathered it, each as much as he could eat. But when the sun grew hot, it melted. On the 6th day they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers each. And when all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, he said to them, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over lay aside to be kept till the morning." So they laid it aside till the morning, as Moses commanded them, and it did not stink, and there were no worms in it. And right at the end of the passage, it says in verse 31, "Now the house of Israel called its name manna. It was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey." It's a really interesting passage, and one of the key things that I thought about when I was reading this was the daily time that we spend with God. You know, the Israelites got up in the morning and they gathered the manna, and it was a daily ritual for them. And I thought of the parts of the Bible where it says, "Give us this day our daily bread," the parts where it says, "God's mercies are new every morning," and the part where Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." So I've called tonight's message Fresh Bread, and I've got a title there. And we'll unpack a little bit about the story we just read, and we're going to be talking about that aspect of our walk with God where we come to Him every single day in the morning and spend time with Him. Father God, I just pray that tonight's word will be refreshing, will be clear, and Lord, I just pray that my words will be your words, that these will be your words off the page being spoken tonight. Amen. So as I was researching, I wanted to know what was happening before, and basically the Israelites had only just came out of the desert, so they were pretty fresh to it all. And something I hadn't really quite realized is they'd been in Egypt for a long time. There's different possible numbers, 215, 400, 430 years, but suffice to say it was a long time. And if you think about how they were living in Egypt, they were living as the Egyptians lived. So obviously they had their own culture, but their culture would have merged with what the Egyptians did. So God, in my opinion, and what I've read a lot, God wanted to undo some of those things. So he provided them with a simple pattern: 6 days work, 1 day rest. And it was sort of like a way to try and retrain them and get them working in God's rhythm again. In verse 35, the people of Israel ate the manna 40 years till they came to a habitable land. And that's something I didn't really quite realize either, but for 40 years, they ate that manna every day. And there's a part of the Bible where it says that the Israelites grumbled about the manna as well. And I was like, yeah, okay, 40 years eating the same thing. I get that. But I believe that God wanted to train them, and they needed 40 years to be trained. So he gave them that time, and he chose to feed them with a simple daily rhythm that allowed them to submit themselves to him every morning. And I was thinking about this, and I think in the same way, God intends us to follow some sort of rhythm, to have this kind of rhythm. I've grown up in a Christian family all my life, and I was in a Christian school, and I've been a Christian since I was little. And so I kind of knew that, from a young age, that spending time with God each day was something that I, had to do to be a good Christian, if you like. And I knew that it was good for me, but for some reason, I really struggled to make this a reality. I wonder if anyone else is like me. I found myself getting extremely motivated at various times, so I decided to dive into the Bible each day really, really deeply, and the problem with that was it only lasted a little while, maybe a couple of weeks, maybe a couple of months, but it often ended up the same way. I would lose the rhythm, and my Bible would gather dust, and I would feel like a fake Christian. I'd be going to church and school and claiming that I'm a Christian, but I knew that I hadn't actually picked up my Bible in months. Last year at Young Adults Camp, and just a little plug for Young Adults Camp, it is amazing. It's a moment where we can spend time with God, and the theme dwell is, I think, so God-ordained for this moment. But last year at Young Adults Camp, the speaker said a really short phrase that really changed my life, actually, and it was simply, get back in the game. But for me, this time was a little bit different because I didn't come at it to simply succeed in reading the Bible. I had this kind of revelation that the game wasn't simply a graded report on how many verses I could read, or if you've seen in the Bible that streak of how many times you've opened the Bible and read the daily verse. I would actually get really annoyed at myself if I lost the streak and feel really bad about myself. But last year, God showed me that he actually wanted to spend that time with me. And it wasn't about me spending time with him. It was. But before that, it was about God spending time with me. And it was like, if you look at God's schedule for the day, that moment in the morning, that few minutes that I spend with him, he actually was looking forward to that. And so in the car on the way back home from camp, I was sharing with Tegan about this revelation, and I had a plan in mind. It was like, this is different. So I didn't have a dressing gown at that point. So I went to Target, got a dressing gown. It was winter, just like now. So you wake up in the morning and, you're all snuggly in bed. You don't want to get up because it's cold out of bed. So I got a dressing gown. That was step number one. Step number two was to make a simple cold brew coffee. I love coffee, and I thought, well, okay, a cold coffee might sort of wake me up. And I left it at that. That was all my practical planning. And funnily enough, it worked. And I spent only 10 minutes with God every morning. I actually did read a few verses of my Bible. I wasn't sure if I would, but I did. And I intentionally chose not to read a lot, but the focus in reading the Bible was about turning to God rather than building up my own ego with how much I could read. And this is the same routine I go through every morning. And it's been about 10 months now, which is the longest I've done that for. And it's changed my life. It really has. Because it's shifted away from being I need to read the Bible to complete this task, to I'm actually spending time with God. And I'm actually really enjoying it. And for the first time, I'm understanding that He's enjoying that too. I had a vision for what I was going to do, to simply spend time with God. There was an element of consistency, the same place, the same time, the same environment, and it was simple. 10 minutes, no pressure, just simple time with God. For me, I was the Israelites living in the desert needing to be retrained, and God gave me manna every morning. It was simple. It wasn't a feast. It wasn't like a 5-course meal or anything like that, but it was sweet, and it was blessed by God. So we're going to do a little bit of group work now, and for about 3 or 4 minutes, I want you all to get in groups of maybe 3 or 4, and I've got a question on the screen that you guys can discuss in your group, but it's basically, what does your daily rhythm with God look like? Or if you're like how I was last year and you don't quite have a rhythm at the moment, that's okay. I truly think every Christian goes through that. What would you like your rhythm to look like? All right. I hope you guys came up with some great things. We've got another couple of group discussions, so if you didn't get a chance to share in that one, make sure you share in the next one. So the next aspect I wanted to touch on with the story that we read is the idea of how the manna went bad the next day, which is, I think, a really interesting thing. For whatever material or substance or food that manna actually was, for it to rot the next day and grow hot during the day and melt, like that's pretty fast. And I think God actually designed that purposefully. For the Israelites, they probably would have been trained to think about storing things for the future. Remember, they just spent hundreds of years in slavery. They were actually born into slavery. It's all they knew. Just in case there came a day where they couldn't get food. So for them, it was a survival mindset. But I think it was also a mindset of, I am capable of providing for myself. God wanted to show the Israelites, firstly, that they could depend on Him to be faithful, but also that God's very best for them was when they relied on Him to provide their needs rather than relying on themselves to do so. And you can sort of see this rhythm throughout the rest of the story with the Israelites. And if you've read that story, you know what I'm talking about. I think this is the same in our lives. We as human beings are actually very capable. We can do a lot of things. Particularly in modern day, a lot of things we can actually do for ourselves. Perhaps this has a negative effect on us sometimes. The truth is, all of the provision that we can achieve for ourselves isn't actually really enough. We do need God. So for me, the reason why simplifying my time with God was so helpful is that it made it manageable. Small bite-sized pieces, just like manna. God saw that I couldn't handle more than that if I was to do it every day, so He led me to a simpler approach where I would get fresh bread every morning. By choosing to take only the manna that they needed for the day, the Israelites showed God that they trusted in Him to provide for them the next day. It was one step with God, followed by another step with God, followed by a journey with God where they would walk hand in hand with Him every day. Who else wants that kind of a relationship with God? So we're going to do a group discussion again. And I want you to think about this aspect of the story. So have you ever gone through a season where you stopped spending time with God? In hindsight, what caused you to slip out of your rhythm with God? Was there anything that you can point to that brought you back? And is there anything that you can change moving forward to remain more consistent? I'll give you guys another few more minutes. So there's one last part I wanted to talk about as you guys are finishing up. And we've got one more little chat. So there's one more part of the passage I wanted to look at, and it's the idea of why did God choose a very specific type of food, and why did he choose to give it to them in a very specific way? If you read the story, the Israelites didn't really need to do very much. God provided the quail for them. God provided the manna for them, and all they needed to do was go out and collect it. If you've ever been hunting before, which I have not been, but I could imagine going out there and finding a quail would be pretty hard. But God brought up a whole flock for them. If you've ever grown wheat, which I have not, growing a field of wheat and turning that somehow into bread would be pretty hard. But God gave them manna. And they did have to do a couple of things. The Bible says in Numbers that they had to boil and bake the manna. They would have had to cook the quail, so they had to do a couple of things, but God tried to make it easy for them. In the same way, I think that our time with God should be more about being with him rather than a job that we have to complete. It reminds me of a story of Mary and Martha, where Martha was trying really, really hard to do lots of things to please Jesus, and I understand why she did that. That was how she was wired. But Mary chose instead to leave those things aside and simply be with God. This world is all about the things. It's all about achieving. It's all about gaining. It's all about doing and striving to do more. But Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I don't know if you're catching a bit of a pattern here as well, but I didn't know that the songs that Dan was going to choose tonight, and he didn't know what I was going to speak about until a couple of days ago, but we sang about Daily Bread tonight. Our theme for the year is Pursuing Jesus. Our theme for Young Adults Camp is Dwell. I think God's calling us to be like Mary. We need to allow God to retrain us just like he retrained the Israelites. Spending time with God is not a checkbox. It's not a task for the day, and it's not a certificate that we have to earn. Spending time with God is simply spending time with God. That's all it is. It's supposed to be that simple. So our last round of group discussion, and I actually got this question from a young adults ministry recently that I went to, which was amazing. So this is what you guys are going to talk about. In my day-to-day, am I doing more for God than I am being with him? Is this at a healthy level? What could shift in my life to change this? Just a few more minutes. I hope those discussions have been good, and I hope you guys have been able to share and learn about each other. This is a safe place, and I know you guys have been chatting. Continue those discussions afterwards if you want, or throughout the week. I've just got a few points to summarize tonight, and I hope it's been challenging tonight as well, because I think sometimes these simple things that we take as like a given that every Christian does, I think sometimes they get skipped over. And don't get me wrong, reading the Bible is so necessary. We need it. We really do. And we need to get the Bible into us more. But if that's the focus of just reading the Bible, taking God out of the equation, it can actually be really damaging to us. So spend time with God, number one. That's tonight's message. But a few key points just to take home with you. Number one, God wants to spend time with you. He enjoys that time. Number two, quality time with God sustains us. It's fresh bread every morning. You need it. Number three, have a vision for what your time with God will be. If the first round of group discussion, if you could say to me, I actually don't have a rhythm at the moment. I want it to look like this. I don't know how. Have a vision and talk with God and talk with someone about it. Keep it as simple and consistent as bread. Number four, don't try so hard to achieve. Simply be with God. Life with God is challenging at times, but it's also designed to be simple. Not necessarily easy, but simple. God just wants to spend time with us. So I might just pray to finish up and then pass back to Dan and Lauren. Lord, thank you so much for you. Thank you so much for yourself and your Son and your Holy Spirit. Lord, I just thank you that you want that relationship with us. And Lord, I just pray that these words will speak more volumes than what my voice ever could. Lord, I pray that you would take them, water them, nurture them. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us all to be more passionate every day about you. Amen.